we finished our series from the book of Romans, and so we're going to be diving into a new book, the first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to look into the first five verses, and this is what it says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. Well, once again, we'd like to have Pastor Richard come and share God's word, and he titled it, Let There Be Light, Christ the Creator. Pastor Richard.
Thank you, Carrie. And good morning!
Good morning!
It is indeed a good morning because while the teachings of men change, God's word never changes. So since God's word never changes, let me not talk for a long time today. Let's get to the start of it all, the beginning of the Word of God, the beginning of the Bible. Let us pray and get immediately to it. Dear Lord, Father, we, looking at your Word today, we go back to the beginning of your Word, to the beginning of everything, Father. You have told us what happened, Father. In the beginning, no one else was there. The first human being, Adam, was not created until the sixth day. So there was no one there to see it other than you, the Father, your Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, Father. No one else witnessed creation. Father, there might have been angels there. You don't tell us about that in your word. Father, there might not have been angels there. We don't know when the angels were created, Father. But all we know is that there was no men or women there at creation to report what happened, Father. All that we have comes through Moses, Father, who you told him what happened, Father. You reported to him so that he might record it in your word, Father, what happened when the earth and the heavens and the universe began, Father. We might hypothesize, we might do tests, we might think we know what happened, Father, but you report to us in your holy word exactly what happened, Father. So I pray that as we look at it, we would not let other knowledge that we might have, that we think we might have, crowd into our minds and confuse us about what it is you are saying, Father. I believe and I know that you tell us in your word also that your word is clear, Father. And through the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we can understand your word exactly what you are telling us, Father. So open our minds through the Spirit to see exactly what happened at the beginning of the universe, as you would have us know through your word. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 1:1. So we are starting a series. verse by verse, though we may skip some passages, but a verse by verse series through the book of Genesis. We're going to look at everything that happened at the beginning of the universe. It all starts with verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Point number 1, which you can fill in the blanks on your sheet if you wish to. The first thing that the Bible, the Word of God, tells us is that God created the entire universe. There is no unclarity about this from the standpoint of a Bible-believing Christian. We must believe that no matter what else happened, God created everything. But there is one other thing that is clear for a Christian from the Bible. Jesus Christ was the one through which everything was created. Point number 1. The first thing that the Bible, the Word of God, tells us is that God created the entire universe. There is no unclarity about this from the standpoint of a Bible-believing Christian. We must believe that no matter what else happened, God created everything. But there is one other thing that is clear for a Christian from the Bible. Jesus Christ was the one through which everything was created. So how do we know that God the Father created everything through Jesus Christ, his Son? We see many places where that is said in his word. Revelation 22, verses 12 and 13. Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me, to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Point number 2. Jesus Christ declares at the end of the Word of God in the book of Revelation that he will come soon in judgment over all humanity, the living and the dead. Jesus says that he is the Alpha and the Omega, which are the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet in which these words are written. All of his words in both Hebrew and Greek, in the Old Testament and the New, begin and end with him, Jesus Christ. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end of everything. Point number 2. Jesus Christ declares at the end of the Word of God in the book of Revelation that he will come soon in judgment over all humanity, the living and the dead. Jesus says that he is the Alpha and the Omega, which are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet in which these words are written. All of his words, in both Hebrew and Greek, begin and end with him. He is the first and last, the beginning and the end of everything. We look at John 1, verses 1 through 5, very familiar text for most Christians, where, talking about Jesus as the Word, the Son of God, who is God himself, it says, in the beginning of creation, like in Genesis 1, was the Word. And the Word was with God the Father. And the Word was God. He is God himself as well. He was in the beginning with God the Father. All things were made through him. You see this. And without him was not anything made that was made. He was not created. He was not made, because nothing was made that was not made without, that was made without him. He was the God, eternally God, from the beginning. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Point number three. In the beginning of the universe, the same beginning where Jesus, as God, created everything, Jesus was with the Father, and Jesus was one with the Father. Not only were the Father and the Son, Jesus, together, everything that was made through him. Nothing was made or could have been made without Jesus. In Jesus, as God's spoken word, was both physical and spiritual life. Point number three. In the beginning of the universe, the same beginning where Jesus, as God, created everything, Jesus was with the Father, and Jesus was one with the Father. Not only were the Father and the Son, Jesus, together, everything that was made through him. Nothing was made or could have been made without Jesus. In Jesus, as God's spoken word, was both physical and spiritual life. We move forward into Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17. For by Jesus Christ, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and also for him. They were created for his sake, so that he might receive the glory from all things. And he, Christ, is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Point number four. By Jesus, everything was created. All things in both heaven and earth, as it says in the first verse of the entire Bible. Everything that could be seen and everything that could not be seen, anything that had authority or power, was created both through Jesus and also to serve and worship Jesus. There is nothing or no one that is more important than Jesus as the centerpiece of the universe, and everything that exists is held together by his power. Point number four. By Jesus, everything was created, all things in both heaven and earth, as it says in the first verse of the entire Bible. Everything that could be seen and everything that could not be seen, anything that had authority or power, was created both through Jesus and also to serve and worship Jesus. There is nothing or no one that is more important that there's nothing or no one that is more important than Jesus as the centerpiece of the universe, and everything that exists is held together by his power. This very room is held together by his power. Our bodies, if they continue to live, are held together by his power. The atoms in the things that are here are held together by the power of Jesus Christ. The cells in our body are only held together by the power of Jesus Christ. The car you traveled in to get here is held together by Jesus Christ. The sky the atmosphere, the fact that we don't float off into space. It's held together by Jesus Christ. Everything that exists was created by him and for him and is held together by him. We move back to Genesis, verse 2 of chapter 1. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Point number 5. At the beginning of creation, there was no form to the heavens and the earth. All things were as nothing before God the Father. His Son Jesus, through which everything was created, and the Holy Spirit mentioned clearly here in the first sentences of God's word. The Spirit, who is also God himself, hovered over the nothingness that existed at this point. The Spirit waited in anticipation of what God the Father was about to do through his Son in the darkness of the void. Point number 5. At the beginning of creation, there was no form to the heavens and the earth. All things were as nothing before God the Father, his Son Jesus, through which everything was created, and the Holy Spirit, mentioned clearly here in the first sentences of God's word. The Spirit, who is also God himself, hovered over the nothingness that existed at this point. The Spirit waited in anticipation of what God the Father was about to do through his Son in the darkness of the void. So what is this darkness? Is this the darkness of sin and death? That might be something that we might think might be happening here. Was death in the world from the beginning of God's creation? Well, his word gives us the answer in Romans 5, verses 12 through 14. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, that was Adam, and death through sin, death came through Adam's sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. So death and sin did not come until after Adam was created. We will look at that more later. But there was no death and no sin for at least the 6 days of creation that God created the earth. Verse 13 of Romans 5 says, "For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses," so it started with Adam and continued to reign through Moses and after the law was given, but not before Adam. Even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Point number 6. The darkness at the beginning of creation was not sin, because sin did not come into the world before the first human being, Adam. Not only was there no sin at the beginning of creation, there was also no dying or death. Not a single part of God's creation died or faced any death until after the sin of his first human creation. Sin and death only spread after Adam, who was created on the 6th day. During the work of God's creation through Jesus, there was no sin or any death. The world would begin and one day would end without any sin or death. Point number six. The darkness at the beginning of creation was not sin, because sin did not come into the world before the first human being, Adam. Not only was there no sin at the beginning of creation, but there was also no dying or death. Not a single part of God's creation died or faced any death until after the sin of his first human creation. Sin and death only spread after Adam, who was created on the sixth day. During the work of God's creation through Jesus, there was no sin or any death. The world will begin and one day would end without any sin. Genesis 1:3. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Point number seven. How did God create the universe? He spoke. Jesus is the eternal Word because God's power works through the power of his words, not our words, his words. The Bible is God's eternal testimony because God has spoken in his word, which represents the gospel of Jesus Christ, the eternal word. The first physical reality that God the Father created through his Son is in the nothingness of his creation was light. The physical light points to the spiritual light of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Point number seven. How did God create the universe? He spoke. Jesus is the eternal Word because God's power works through the power of his words. The Bible is God's eternal testimony because God has spoken in his word, which represents the gospel of Jesus Christ, the eternal Word. The first physical reality that God the Father created through his Son in the nothingness of his creation was light. The physical light points to the spiritual light of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. 2 Corinthians 4:6 tells us about this physical and spiritual light. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So how does God create physical light and physical life? He speaks. How does God create spiritual light and spiritual life? He speaks. And he speaks to us in his gospel. What is the good news of the gospel? First of all, we have sin. Adam did sin after he was created in the garden. And because of his sin, sin spread to all human beings. We are born in sin, and not only are we born in sin, as soon as we possibly can, we commit sin. We break God's law. And the punishment for that sin is eternal hell. If nothing is changed in our condition, we will end up in eternal hell. That is a reality. But Jesus, the Son of God, became a man. Not only did he become a man, he lived a perfect, righteous, holy, sinless life. He never once broke God's law. He never once sinned. And if we are trusting in his holy, righteous, sinless life, then we can receive his righteousness as our own and stand before a holy God. But not only did he need to live that perfect life, he also went to the cross and died on the cross. Not just for our sakes, but for his own glory, so that on the cross, taking the punishment that we deserve, that eternal hell that we deserved, we might trust in him and avoid that punishment ourselves because he took it in our place. And then Jesus rose from the dead. Very likely, God spoke, though it doesn't tell us, spoke so that he would have new life. And when we trust in him, in his resurrection, we receive that newness of life as well, and we can live for his glory. And above all, we can believe his word, what he actually said. We can see the meaning of his words in the Bible because the Holy Spirit comes to live in us and he reveals to us the truth of what happens in his word. That is the gospel. Point number 8. The same God who created physical light in the beginning also creates spiritual light through his Son, Jesus Christ. Just as God spoke to create physical light, so God speaks to create spiritual light in the hearts of his people, Christians, to allow them to see the face of Jesus Christ through the knowledge of the glory of God. God gives his creation light through Jesus Christ so that he can reveal Jesus Christ to his creation. Point number 8. The same God who created physical light in the beginning also creates spiritual light through his Son, Jesus Christ. Just as God spoke to create physical light, so God speaks to create spiritual light in the hearts of his people, Christians, to allow them to see the face of Jesus Christ through the knowledge of the glory of God. God gives his creation light through Jesus Christ so that he can reveal Jesus Christ to his creation. Genesis 1, 4. And God saw that the light was good. Of course it was good. It came because of Jesus. And there was no sin in it. That's why it was good. There was no sin or evil in this light. And God separated the light that we have from the darkness that was there before the light. We have to know, God created light before the sun, before the moon, before the stars, which were created not until the fourth day. The sun, the moon, and the stars were created on the fourth day. That is what his word tells us. Isn't this impossible for there to be light without a light source? Some might ask. But God himself was the source of the light. How do we know? Because he will be the source of light for all eternity in heaven. Revelation 22, verses 3 through 5 says, no longer will there be anything accursed, there'll be no more sin, but the throne of God and the Lamb, Jesus Christ, will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face by the light. Let there be light, and you will see the face of Jesus Christ. and his name will be on their foreheads. They belong to him. And night will be no more. There'll be no more darkness. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Point number 9. At the end of the universe, in heaven, where Jesus Christ rules after the judgment of the living and the dead, the people of God who are saved by his work in his life, death, and resurrection will no longer need any light source other than God himself. The way that the universe began with Jesus as the light, the world will also end as those who worship him bask in the glory of his light forever and ever. Point number 9. At the end of the universe, in heaven, where Jesus Christ rules after the judgment of the living and the dead, the people of God who are saved by his work in his life, death, and resurrection will no longer need any light source other than God himself. The way that the universe began with Jesus as the light, the world will also end as those who worship him bask in the glory of his light forever and ever. Genesis 1:5. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Point number 10. God created light and darkness, day and night, evening and morning. God created the first day and called it one day in his word, according to what he communicated to Moses, who recorded it in the Bible, the word of God. Point number 10. God created light and darkness, day and night, evening and morning. God created the first day and called it one day in his word, according to what he communicated to Moses, who recorded it in the Bible, the word of God. Now we come to the question everyone wants to know. God separated the light from the darkness, the day from the night, the evening from the morning, and then it says one day. It doesn't say first day in the Hebrew. It just simply says one day. That's the literal translation. All of these words, light, darkness, day, night, evening, morning, and one day, all make a strong implication that everything in verses 1 through 5 of Genesis 1 happened in one 24-hour day. And that is what the Hebrew words say, one day. So, where is the controversy? Shouldn't we take God at his word? But the good news is that Genesis 1 is not the only place that God spoke of how long it took him to create the universe. We have more information to examine in his word in the book of Exodus, also written by Moses under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We will look at two other passages to see if we can determine whether this one day really is simply one day. But then, at that point, we must take God at his word. On the back of your scripture worksheet, you will see a simple chart with both of these passages printed out. Exodus 31, verses 12 through 18, we'll look at this one first. At the beginning of this passage, it says, "And the Lord said to Moses." The words that are recorded here in Exodus 31 are words that God spoke in audible words to his servant Moses. Moses heard them with his own ears audibly from God when he met with him on Mount Sinai. Verses 13 and 14. "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, 'Above all, you should keep my Sabbaths,'" Sabbaths being the seventh day of the week to do no work on that day. That was God's command. "For this," these Sabbaths, "is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you." Sanctify meaning make you holy so that you can stand before me. That's why they kept the Sabbath, which we don't have to keep now. That's a different discussion, but that's why they did. "You shall keep the Sabbath, for it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death." So this was a life-death matter he was talking about. "Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people." Here in these verses, God is speaking about his Sabbaths, or the rest that the Jewish people would take on the seventh day of the week. Verse 15 that we're about to read is God's command regarding the six 24-hour days and the seventh 24-hour day, which was the Sabbath. Verse 15 says, "6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death." 6 days shall work be done. Actual 24-hour days, there is no other way to take it. There is no other way that Moses would have understood it. There's no other way that we would understand it. This was the 6 days that a Jew was to work. And then it says, "But the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord." An actual 24-hour day? Yes. You know, no one disagrees. Verses 16 and 17 say, "Therefore the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath," this real day, "observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever." And then God says why they are to keep the Sabbath. "It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." The Sabbath here, the word of God says, it is a sign forever between God and the people of Israel. It is a sign of what? Two sentences later, after the real seventh day week for the Jews, comes a real seven-day week for God in Genesis 1. There's no way getting around it. It is a direct comparison between the 2 weeks. It uses the same words in the Hebrew, using the same words as in Genesis 1, referring to the same event as in Genesis 1. Actual 24-hour days? How else are we supposed to take it? How else would Moses have meant it when he wrote it down? How else were the Jews supposed to read it? When the same words are used in the space of a few sentences in any book or literature that we might read, with no indication in the language that there are two different meanings, we have to see the clarity of the language. A day is a day. So what are we to say? Was Moses inconsistent in the use of the language he used in the space of a few sentences, in the space of three verses? Can there, at this point, be a surer word than the same author, Moses, using the same words in the same way in both Genesis and Exodus? Point number 11. In Exodus 31, God says that he commands his people, the Jews, to work for 6 days and rest for one day. These must be 24-hour days. God then says in the very next verse that he made heaven and earth in 6 days. These are written together by Moses' hand. Moses must have believed these were 6 24-hour days. The Hebrew word is the same word used in the same way as in Genesis 1. Point number 11. In Exodus 31, God says that he commands his people, the Jews, to work for 6 days and rest for one day. These must be 24-hour days. God then says in the very next verse that he made heaven and earth in 6 days. These are written together by Moses' hand. Moses must have believed these were 6 24-hour days. The Hebrew word is the same word used in the same way as in Genesis 1. But let's go back to the chart. Let's look at the other scripture. Let's look at verse 18 of Exodus 31 first. And he, God, gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. So, after God spoke audibly to Moses to tell him these things, God gave Moses two stone tablets that he had written with his own hand, with God's hand. So what did God write with his own hand? Well, we know, we can look in other places, we know that God wrote the Ten Commandments on those tablets of stone. So let's look at one of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, written on the tablet of stone by God himself. Exodus 20, 8 through 10, the Sabbath command. God wrote with his own hand, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates." He's explaining the Sabbath commandment. It says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Again, no question that these are actual days that God commanded with his own hand. Verse 11, just like in Exodus 31, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Why did he bless it? Because the Sabbath day was parallel to the day that he rested. These words were not just written by Moses in the book of Exodus, but by the finger of God himself on two tablets of stone. God himself wrote with his own hand that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. These words say the same thing as in Exodus 31. Again, absolutely no indication in the text that the word 6 days, referring to God's creation in verse 11, have a different meaning than the words in verse 8 of the same text just two sentences earlier. Does God not want us to believe the clear meaning of his word? Are we to redefine his words based on our own preferences or our own finite knowledge? Point number 12. In Exodus 20, God says that he commands his people, the Jews, to labor for 6 days. These must be 24-hour days. God then writes on the tablets of stone with his own hand that he, the Lord, made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them in 6 days. Is God inconsistent in his language in the space of two sentences? Moses reported these things in the Word of God in both Genesis and Exodus with the same words and the same way. Point number 12. In Exodus 20, God says that he commands his people, the Jews, to labor for 6 days. These must be 24-hour days. God then writes on the tablets of stone with his own hand that he, the Lord, made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them in 6 days. Is God inconsistent in his language in the space of two sentences? Moses reported these things in the Word of God in both Genesis and Exodus with the same words in the same way. I know you were waiting for it. Some of you were waiting for it. The word is yom. And yes, yom can mean different things in different places. But how do we know what yom means? By the context. By where it's used and how it's used in the passages that it's used. So we know that one day, one yom in Genesis 1:5 means an actual 24-hour day because it is clear in Exodus 31 and in Exodus 20. That is how we interpret things as human beings. We have to look at how the words are used and how they're used in the context that they're in. So, application. There's only one blank in each application, therefore I'm only going to read it once for the sake of time. Number one, application number one. Believe that God created the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Believe that he created them simply by speaking his word to create them. Application number two. Believe that God created everything through the power of his Son, Jesus Christ. The Word of God tells us that Jesus is the Alpha, the beginning of everything, and the Omega, the end of everything. Application number three. Believe that Jesus himself is the source of the light that God created on the first day and that he had not yet created the sun, the moon, or the stars, before the Son of God gave real physical light to the universe. Application number 4. Finally, believe that God did all this in 6 days. Don't allow other knowledge to crowd into your mind and confuse you about what the Word of God is saying, which is absolutely clear about what happened. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I myself know that there are many different things being taught about the first chapter of Genesis. Father, there's so many different viewpoints that everything becomes a big mess of confusion. Father, and oftentimes we'll refer to different human knowledge to say that it could or could not have happened one way, or it could or could not have happened another way, Father. But when your word is clear, Father, then we have to defer to your word before anything else, Father. Though there might be many other things to be worked out, Father, about how things might have happened according to some scientific process, Father, if that even applies, Father, because this was your power, and you don't even have to follow a scientific process if you don't want to, Father. We saw that in the miracles of Jesus and in the resurrection, Father. Help us to believe your word, Father. Help us to believe. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Richard. So here's the start of Genesis. We've got a whole year of Genesis to do. I know there's 50 chapters, so this should be interesting. Thank you for your clarity on the meaning of 24 hours in a day. Let's bow our heads and pray for the offering. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your provision and protection. You teach us to be generous givers of our treasure, our times, and our talents for others. And may you bless this offering we're about to give. Use it for your kingdom cause. We thank you in all things. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.